If you have your Bibles this morning, we're in the last chapter in the Psalms this morning. We're in Psalm 150. I encourage you to open your Bibles up. I mean, the scripture will be on the screen, but there's something special about reading out of God's Word. If you have your app or anything like that, feel free to open that up. Psalm 150. But let me pray, and then we will jump into Psalm 150. Father, we praise you. We thank you for who you are and what you've done. We praise you more than anything for your love for us. Your love so much that you sent your Son to take our place and to pay our debt of sin. And Lord, I ask if there's anyone here that don't know you, that today might be their day of salvation. Speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to really grasp the idea of the subject this morning. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 150 is the conclusion of the whole book, the whole book of Psalm. And it is a fitting conclusion. It really is. One pastor says this: after all the prayers, after all the laments that we heard about in Psalm, after the confession, the cries for help, the songs of trust, and the declaration of hope, the final word is not sorrow. It is not lament, not confession. The final word is not fear. The final word is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And honestly, when you read the Psalm, that's the conclusion everywhere. We serve a God that we can trust and a God that's worthy of our praise. And I hope you understand that and realize that. This morning, as we start off, I would like to read Psalm 150. And so if you would follow along, it says this. It starts off this way: praise the Lord. Praise him in his mighty heavens. I'm sorry, let me start over. I already messed up. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbal. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you're not sure what this message is about, it's about praise, right? 13 times the word praise is used in these six verses. 13 times we're commanded to praise the Lord. I love this verse, or this chapter. But also, if that isn't enough to let you know that we should be praising the Lord, Psalm 146 through 149 also begins and ends with the command to praise the Lord, okay? Many times, we associate praising the Lord with worship, which that is correct. Praise is part of worship. But the two words actually have two different meanings. The word worship means this: to fall down or bow down before. Right? To bow down before. And the word worship is intertwined with this: surrender. Surrender. We are to surrender and worship to God alone. And I know in my life, and this is hard to say, but it's true, that I have worshiped other things besides the Lord. I had a Harley once. I worship that pretty much, right? And I've had hobbies in my life. And I'm not bashing hobbies, and I'm not bashing Harleys, but when we let those things become our worship, that's when it becomes a problem. Like, in a hobby, for instance, and I said golf, but any hobby, right? I'm not a golfer, and I'm not picking on golf, because I know Mike Wing loves golf, and I know probably some of you others do too. But when we take our hobby, and we make that what we're worshiping, and what I mean by that, when we have a hobby, and it's what we talk about, or it's what we think about, and it's the only thing we do in our spare time, and it's what we invest in, guess what it is? It is our worship. It is our worship. It is, and I've had hobbies like that where I couldn't imagine my life without it. But guess what? I'm so thankful that God broke me out of that cycle and realized that He's the only one I can truly worship. When we truly worship God, we must surrender everything to Him. He needs to be our focus of surrender. There are other things we can do in life, like golf and ride Harleys, but God is the focus of our worship, or He wants to be the focus of our worship. So is God what you're worshiping in your life? Worship, a lot of times we look at it as an activity that we do on Sunday morning. But worship is way more than that. It is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. In John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. And they're having a discussion about where the Samaritans worship and where the Israelites worship. And Jesus says something incredible to her. He says, "But the hour is coming, and it is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." In spirit and truth. "For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." So what is He talking about? In spirit and in truth. When He's talking about spirit, He's talking about a heart surrendered to Him, to the Lord. It remember what it means. It means to bow before. It's a lifestyle that where we serve the Lord. That is what He's talking about, to serve in spirit. But He also says to serve, or to serve in the truth. And what is the truth? There's only one true truth in this world, and it's in this book right here that God gave us. This is His revelation to us. This is the truth. This is what He's talking about. Our worship should align with God's word. Paul writes about this also in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul writes, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God," which is what? Your spiritual worship. It's our spiritual worship. So let me talk about verse 1 first, and then we'll hit verse 2. So Paul's saying, look, because you have faith in Jesus Christ, because you have faith in, have trusted Him as Savior, you've experienced His mercy, and you are to be a living sacrifice to Him. You're to put Him, that He's who you should worship. He's who you should bow the knee to. We are to live our life according to what He wants and not what we want. Living sacrifice, okay? And you may be sitting here thinking, how do I do that? How do I surrender my life? We learn the truth. Paul tells us in the second verse, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul's saying, look, don't be conformed to Harley Davidson's. Don't be conformed to golf or these other things. Don't be conformed to sin. Don't be conformed to what the world says is right. Look at my word and be transformed by my word. And when we allow God's word to come into our mind, the Holy Spirit will use us to use it to transform us into who God wants us to be, a living sacrifice. But it takes surrender and commitment on our part. That is worship. I said all that just to get to praise. Sorry. I really want you to understand that there's a difference. A worship is a heart surrendered to God, and praise comes from that surrendered heart. Praise is audibly saying, worship is internal. Praise is external. When we come here on Sunday, we sing praises to who? God, because of our worship, because of a surrendered heart. Worship is intertwined with submission. Praise is intertwined with thanksgiving. It means adoration. And unlike worship, we can only worship one, or in his name is Jesus Christ, right? But when we praise, we can praise other things in life. Like, I praise my wife, and I praise my kids when they do something right. And do they deserve that? When, because my wife is amazing, and she deserves that. And I hope you feel the same about your wife. Actually, in Proverbs 31, 28, and 29, it says this, her, talking about a mom, children, raise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Same exact word that we're talking about in the psalm. He praises her. Why? Because many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. He's praising her for being this godly woman that she is. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in our passage today, we're talking about praising the Lord. We're going to be talking about praising him for who he is and what he's done. The phrase that our verse starts out with is praise the Lord. And in the original language, it's a word that we translate hallelujah. Okay? It is hallel, that means praise. And Yah is short for Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. Right? Let's say that together. Hallelujah. Right? That means praise the Lord. And that's what we're here to do this morning. Psalm 100, verse 4 is an awesome passage. And actually, we sing a song with these very words in it. It says, enter the gates with thanksgiving, or enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. I love the song we sing. It says, enter the gates with the Lord, of the Lord with thanksgiving, enter the courts of the Lord with praise. That's what we're talking about. Sorry about my singing, I'm horrible at it, right? Our praise comes from a heart surrendered to God. The psalm in our passage today, it goes on in the next verse, and it tells us where we are to praise. Psalm 150, verse 2, says, praise the Lord, Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Like in the early church, they worshiped in the temple. And there was times where they had a tent where they worshiped in the tabernacle. And that's what the psalmist is talking about when he says sanctuary. They sang praises to the Lord in the sanctuary. And that's what we do on Sunday mornings. We come here, and who are we praising? What is praise for? It should be this. Who is praise for? It is not for us. It is for the Lord. We come here to praise him. And that's what we come here on Sunday mornings is all about, praising the Lord. But he also says, praise him in his mighty heavens. You know, there's angels in heaven that all they do is praise the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. When we think about this, though, are we to only praise the Lord here? Absolutely not. And when we look at this and it says the tabernacle and the heavens, that means we're to praise him everywhere. We praise him everywhere. There's a couple of guys, Paul and Silas. They were on a missionary trip. Paul was starting churches in Asia Minor all around, right? And you would think, oh, well, nothing bad's going to happen. But sometimes bad things happen. But God's in control of those bad things, right? He's in control, and Paul and Silas knew that. And it says this in Acts 16, 25. They were in prison. They got arrested for ministry. They got arrested. And it says this in Acts 16, 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praising God in jail. And the prisoners there were listening to them. That's amazing. What do we want to do when the hardships come our way? We want to give up and say, God, where are you? Not Paul and Silas. They were praising God. We praise him everywhere. In 2 Samuel, the Israelites, or David brought the Ark of the Covenant to Israel. And it records that Israel praised God. It says David was dancing. They were thrilled. They were praising God. In Luke 2, the shepherds went and met Jesus in the manger. And when they came back, what did they do? They praised the Lord. And what else happened here? When in Exodus, when God delivered the Israelites across the Red Sea, they praised the Lord. There's a whole section where they sang praises to God. We are to praise the Lord. And we are to do that everywhere. Look, when we share what the Lord has done in our lives, and we share the good news of Jesus, we are praising God. We are. Why do we praise him? Psalm 150, I said Psalm 50, verse 2 before, but that was actually verse 1. This is Psalm 50, verse 2. It says, praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent goodness. We praise God because of what he's done. And we praise him for his goodness. So let's talk about God's mighty deeds. There's some big ones. God created the heavens and the earth. He created us. He, even though we fell, he sent his son Jesus. He created us in his image as well. And look, we have God's, we talked about this a few weeks ago, or in Psalm, I believe it's 136 or 139, we talked about the attributes of God. But God's attributes are his we can praise him for those deeds as well, for his love for us, for his holiness, for his justice, and that he's everywhere. He knows everything, and he's all powerful. We praise God for that. I don't want a God that don't do those things and isn't that, okay? But we also praise him for his goodness. And this is where I believe we start to take things for granted. We really do. Everything in our life is a gift from God. Praise the Lord. Our children and our grandchildren are a gift from God. Sometimes I don't feel that way. They are a gift from God. Praise the Lord. I woke up this morning. Praise the Lord. We can freely gather together in praise. Praise the Lord. Every breath we take is a gift of God. Praise the Lord. We take these things for granted. We think we're owed these things, but that's not the truth. There's a great story in the Bible in Luke 17. There's 10 men who are struggling with leprosy. And they cry out to Jesus. They see him, heal us, heal us. And Jesus says, hey, go to the priest. The priest had to be the one, the priest in the temple had to be the one that gave them the okay to go back into society. He says, go show yourself to the priest. So the 10 of them start, they're all excited. They start heading to the priest. And on the way, one of them realizes that he's healed. And he turns around, one of them turns around. And he comes and he bows the knee. Thank you. I praise you. And Jesus says something. I think Jesus had an incredible sense of humor. He says, where are the 10? Where are the 9? Like, he's like, you're here, but where are the other 9? Right? That's what he said to him. But listen, these men were healed and only one returned. Look, we cry out to God for him to do things in our lives. We cry out. There's been people who's had surgery recently, and there's been people who are struggling. And when we're going through those things, where do we turn? We turn to God. But listen, when God comes through and when he answers our prayer, and even if he don't, sometimes we forget to praise him afterwards. Look, God wants us to be like the one who came back, to remember his greatness and what he's done, to remember who he is. That's where our praise comes from. It comes from remembering and knowing, and that's what we're singing about here this morning. Look, but the most important thing, I really want to hit on this before we move on, the most powerful thing and the most loving thing that God has done for us is he sent his son to die and take the place of on the cross and pay the price for our sin. We've all sinned against him. We've all rebelled. And in the midst of that, it actually says in the Bible that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. Listen to this word, none, right? There's none of us that are righteous. None of us have skated through without sinning. And there's a price for the sin. It is separation from God. The wages of sin is death, is how the scripture words it. It's separation from our God. We don't have a relationship with him without Jesus. But God loved us so much that he sent his son. Actually, the verse that says the wages of sin is death says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. It starts off with bad news and it ends with great news. In Romans 5:8, it says, God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us so much that he sent his son to take our place. He loved us so much, he sent his son. Think of that. And what do we do? That's the gospel of Christ, or that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do we respond to the gospel? What is our part in it? Our part is this, faith. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If we believe that Jesus' death on the cross, that he did that in our place, and that he didn't stay dead, that he rose from the grave. If we believe those things, and we confess that the Lord is we make Jesus the Lord of our life, that is to realize that we're sinners, and he's our only hope, and we're going to do our best to follow him. When we do those things, we will be saved. That is our responsibility, faith in Jesus. The only thing that can save us or reconnect us to God is faith in Jesus. It is in Christ alone. So when should we, why should we praise him for who he is and what he's done? And when should we praise him? I added this one because I really think this is important. When should we praise him? In Psalm 34:1, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my mouth. A couple of weeks ago, or actually it's probably been a couple months ago now. My time goes by fast, but there's a young couple that comes here and they wanted to be married. And they couldn't, they just needed some help in that. And Kim and I brought them in. We met with them. We talked with them. And we were able to, they got married right here on the stage with a few other family members. But it was the most incredible day. It was the most incredible day because this is why. They were so thankful. They were so thankful. I'll bet you 20 times they thanked them or their family, thanked Kim and I for doing that. When should we praise our Lord? All the time. All the time. We say this. I like to say this. God is good. And all the time. Do we really believe that? If we do, we should be praising him, what? All the time, because he's always good. Ephesians, now this praise should be ongoing all the time, but Ephesians 5:20 is a verse that also says this. It says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:15 says this, through him, let us, there's our new series, let us continually offer up sacrifice and praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2, it says, we give thanks to God always of you. Let me read again. We give thanks to God always for all of you, consistently mentioning you in our prayers. Part of our prayer life is adoration, thanksgiving to God. We praise him all the time. And believers can praise God even in their difficult circumstances. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. When we're believers, even when our world seems to be burning down, God is using it for good. He is. And we can believe that. That's what Paul and Silas believed in jail. They believed they were there for a purpose. They knew God had a plan. And guess what? The jailer got saved because they were there singing praises. And honestly, that jailer became a big, big part of the church later on. But we praise God all the time, in good times and bad, because he's always good. And how do we praise the Lord? The psalmist writes three verses about this. He tells us, we praise him with trumpet sound. We praise him with lute and harp. We praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. The psalmist shares that we praise God with all these instruments. With everything we have, we praise the Lord. But there's more ways. I know John mentioned it, and I don't know if it was in his prayer or when he was speaking, that we praise God in other ways besides singing. In Psalm 149, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. We praise him with singing. We praise him with our words. Psalm 35:28. Then my tongue shall tell of his righteousness and of your praise all day long. When we speak, we should be speaking praise about God. People should be able to see our praise in our actions. In Colossians 3:17 it says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Does our life reflect the praise? Or do we get upset with somebody and we complain about, this person did this, and we try to get people on our side? Or do we praise God in the hardship? Do we praise him when our world's falling down? And can people see that we believe that God's in control even when things are going horribly wrong? Can they see the joy and the hope in your life? Our actions should reflect our praise. And we're to praise him with our whole heart. Psalm 86:12. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I glorify your name forever. Amen. Those are some hard things and some convicting things to listen to, because I feel like we all struggle in some of these areas. And if we're truthful, we know that. But I love how this chapter ends. And this is also one of our songs. I'm not singing this one. My voice is shot. But it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just say that together. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look, everyone, every believer, I'm going to say everything that has breath is commanded to praise the Lord. But as believers, I think our praise should come from a heart of worship. We should want to praise the Lord. Every breath that we have is a gift from God and an opportunity to praise him. Even though our praise is continual and everywhere, we as believers gather together and praise him corporately. That's the reason we gather. We come here and we sing praises of who God is and what he has done. And we talk about him and we share the good news through talking in other ways. It's all about the Lord. That is our purpose for gathering. Praising is not, the singing part is not, praising God is not for us. It helps us to remember who God is, but our praise is to God. Many times, though, we critique the praise on Sunday mornings. I've had people tell me that there's people around them criticizing their voice. Honestly, people have probably been criticizing my voice too, but but listen, when we criticize, let me just say this. Our praise is not for you. Our praise is for our God and our Creator. Our praise is for his Son, Jesus Christ. We really don't have the right to critique because it's all about him. And it comes from a heart of worship.